And just to follow up, James and Tim both graduated from Coach. They did really well, and they've now got full-time employment, and they're flourishing. So Coach aims to see people in tough places flourish. And if you're watching online, welcome. I hope you were able to see that video. But all one of our Coach mentors are friends with purpose. So Will was a friend with purpose to those boys. He gave up 1 or 2 hours a week to draw alongside them, to connect with them. I mean, he used the guitar and a bit of footy. It was pretty ordinary. But he'd ended up doing extraordinary local mission into his community. And Will's gone on to do greater things himself. He's now working in an indigenous community outside Cairns. So he's really evolved. And Coach has evolved since those days. Coach is now in 66 communities. We are including 10 in the UK, although I've got a Pommy accent. Just stress that it is definitely an Aussie export to the UK. So that's good. And it's going well. We are rather unique for a Christian ministry in that we are evaluated by Monash University. We're on our third evaluation, which is really encouraging. And they're giving us some good feedback on where we need to tweak things, need to improve. But we're learning all the time. So last year, about this time last year, Senior Pastor Dale said to us, be promptable to the Holy Spirit. So I thought to myself, well, I better start praying. I better start getting on my knees and praying and listening to the Holy Spirit. And to my shock, even to my horror, God, I felt, was saying to me, Toby, I want you to lead Coach, enable and empower Coach with the team to go into some tougher communities. I want you to consider Danny Nong. And I thought, no, we can't get Danny Nong's the toughest community in Victoria. Did you know that? And I thought, no, it's a bit hard. And he said, I want you to go to Mount Druitt. I said, well, there's really no church. If you go to Mount Druitt, the church in Mount Druitt is very frail. There are some churches, but they're very frail, fragile churches. Western Sydney, the toughest community in Sydney. He said, I want you to start engaging, seriously engaging with indigenous communities in, you know, places like Palm Island and Redfern. And I was going, wow, that's just too hard. I started complaining and groaning and whinging at God. Was as a pom, whinging is not a good look, is it? So, but what's remarkable is that God has delivered in those communities. You know, we've been in those, Sammy and Sonia Metri, down here at the front, they've been faithfully serving as mentors for years in Danny Nong. And we were able to deploy one of our best workers down there, Paul Beddoes, because we received a grant, our first big grant, to go down there and start something and join in with the local churches there, mobilize. And there's a strong team of over 20 mentors matched in Danny Nong. So, and just knocked me down with a feather. I just was blown away. God delivered there. Mount Druitt, we partner with Hillsong. And they are in Baulkham Hills. If you've ever been to Baulkham Hills, it's quite a posh suburb. I thought, oh, they'll just take it easy. They'll just start in Baulkham Hills. Not a problem. But do you know where they started Coach? Hillsong Coach started in Mount Druitt. To my utter surprise, they chose to follow God's lead and mobilize their mentors into Mount Druitt. Palm Island, one of the toughest communities, indigenous communities, almost 100% unemployment rate. Through our partners, Australians Together, we've been able to engage with some leaders in that community, some wonderful indigenous leaders. Australians Together opened the door for us, and we're adapting Coach to work with indigenous communities. So it's just been a great journey. And I thank you, Crossway. Thank you that if you've donated through Life Care to Coach, it would have come to Coach in part. And I thank you for your offerings into Life Care. Really appreciate that. Thank you if you've been a mentor. Thank you. You know, if you've been like Sammy and Sonia, mentoring families, many families, thank you. You know, perhaps you're having a rest from mentoring. That's okay. Maybe this year you can step back up and become a mentor. We've got Joe in the foyer. We'd love to see you again. Or maybe you want to do something new this year. please consider becoming a mentor. It's 1 or 2 hours a week. We'll support you. There's training on the 23rd, 24th of Feb. We'll look after you and support you as you go out into the community. Well, we are in the middle of this season two, life-changing scriptures. Fantastic. Dale has given us a bit of a free rein to preach on what we like. Could be dangerous, actually. Senior Pastor Dale's away on holiday, so he's given us a free rein. But I was thinking about last year. I was challenged to think about community. I mean, I love Netflix. Come on, who's got a Netflix account here? Come on, hands in the air. No judgment. I've got a Netflix account. Yeah, hands in the air. Who's got a Netflix account? Yeah, a few people. Yeah, yeah. Last night, about 80%, maybe 10, 15, don't have quite so many accounts or are not willing to admit they've got a Netflix account. I love Netflix. I mean, you know, I like to lock myself away in my office, and I've got a big screen there. I've got speakers, and I watch episode after episode. It's, you know, it's a bit addictive. I love the historical documentaries. I love Ken Burns' Vietnam. Brilliant, actually. Absolutely recommended. The Crown. Okay, anybody watch The Crown? Yeah, it's a good show. Pommy show. Yeah, The Crown. I love all that. I love locking myself away. Christmas shopping, though. I didn't leave my office to go Christmas shopping. I did almost all of it from my office online. Brilliant. You know, you just order your presents online through Amazon. And you don't actually have to have any human interaction with anybody. It was brilliant. I could stay in my little island and just do my shopping. I've also discovered Uber Eats. Come on now. Yeah, so Uber Eats. Oh, fantastic. I can carry on watching. I'm online. I've got my big screens. Jump on the app, order myself a burger. It gets delivered. I don't have to have any interaction. I don't even need to drive through. I don't even need to go to McDonald's and drive through. I can just get it delivered. No human interaction. You actually have to smile at the Uber driver because you give him a nice smile, because otherwise you don't get the 5 stars. So that's important to remember. But really, you don't have to have any human interaction at all. You can live in your little castle, your little island, and I can get a bit sort of addictive. And the internet's, you know, you can just jump online, social media. And before you know it, your whole day's gone, and you haven't had an interruption from anybody. The only problem with that is that my wife doesn't really understand that. She doesn't do the island castle thing. A few years ago, we signed up to be foster parents through, you know, Heather Packett was talking about fostering, and we felt a bit of a nudge to do that. So I sort of signed the paperwork. Yeah, that sounds okay. I'll do that. We'll do that. And sure enough, a child came in. Great. Wonderful. Lovely child. That's okay. I can handle one. And then more children started coming in. And I said, I'm sure I only signed for one. But she brought more in. And then I think we have currently 4 official foster children, respite foster children, and sometimes they all come at once. And then we have informal foster children, teenagers. They come for a couple of weeks, but they stay one stay for 9 months. In fact, she's still got to log in to my Netflix account. I'm going to sort that out. And they just come. They come and stay. And Laura invites them. She invites the parents of the foster children to come and join in on Friday nights to a community meal. She invites the neighbours in, and she invites there are lots of children, you know. And it's rather hard. I'm in my office. It's rather hard. I've got a child knocking on my door. Come out and play, Toby. Would you come out and play? I'm just going, no, I'm watching Vikings. I'm watching Vikings. They're about to storm Paris, you know. It's episode 48. and you want me to play with you. But I go out and I'm challenged by that. And indeed, you know, Jesus said, truly, truly I tell you, whatever you do to the least of these, you do unto me. That's a life-changing scripture up front for you, free of charge. Matthew 25, verse 40. Whatever you do to the least of these, you do unto me. And of course, as we draw close to the least of these, who do we draw close to? We draw close to Jesus. And when we draw close to Jesus, what happens to us? We change. We are challenged and changed. And this has happened to me. So this has happened to me last year. And I was thinking, oh, wow, this is really getting me off my island. Well, my island's been invaded. And I'm going to have to think about this. I'm going to have to do something about this. And what are good, some good examples for community, for community, for neighborhood thing? And what struck me between the eyes was we don't need to look very far to find a good example of community, because we follow a God that is in community, the Trinity. So I wanted to unpack with you today the Trinity, but it's rather hard, I have to admit. You know, you can't just jump on your Bible app and type in T and search T for Trinity. I mean, that's not how the Bible works. It's not a sort of theological treatise. Yet there aren't any particular verses that define the Trinity. And it is rather hard to unpack the Trinity, I have to admit. Have you ever tried explaining the Trinity to your non-Christian friends? It's a bit clunky to explain. But very, very important to us. Very important we get around our heads around this idea of one God in three. Okay, so what are some of the analogies that we can help us? How can we really reflect on this? How on God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost? Well, how about we start with some adding up? How's your adding up this morning, Sunday morning? Let's do some adding up. Okay, what's this add up to? 1 + 1 + 1. Oh, actually, Chinese. I was in the Chinese congregation. They taught me how to do it in Chinese. Yeah? So it's yi, san. Oh, I think that's got to be longer, hasn't it? That's three. That's meant to be three. Yi, san. I mean, if only I'd done, yeah? Does that work? E-er-san. So any Chinese people down here? Well, I just want to show this off. You know, that's my... E-er-san. E-er-san. Three. If only I'd learned how to do maths in Chinese. I might have got through school a bit better. But okay, what's 1 + 1 + 1? Come on. Three. Fantastic. Three, that's that, yeah, bit more complicated. Okay, but let me get my rubber. What if we replace the adding sign, the plus sign, with a times sign, multiplication sign? Yeah? What's that? One times one times one? One. Yeah, so that can help us. Yeah, God is three, but also God is one. One times one times one. Brilliant. That can perhaps help us a little bit to reflect on the Trinity. But what else can we think about? Can we think about, how about we think about food? There's my Uber burger. Oh, fantastic. I love a bit of fast food. It didn't actually, my Uber burger did not look like that at all. It was sort of squashed and cold. But there's a burger, and, you know, perhaps if I'd gone to theological college, maybe I could have told my lecturers, I'm reflecting on the Trinity, and I've come up with a burger. They might have might not have got me through, actually. But, you know, we can think of the bun as Jesus. We can think of the cheese of the Holy Spirit flowing everywhere. And maybe the burger itself as the Father. I don't know what about the lettuce and the tomato. I'm not sure what that is. So maybe the burger is not the best analogy. But what about the planets? What about the sun? What about science? You know, there's some, you know, analogies from science. We can look at water forming liquid, forming gas, forming steam. You know, that might work. But God doesn't actually change states. But what about the sun? The sun there, I mean, it's incredible. Dale told us last week that 99.9% of the solar system's mass is in the sun. It's incredible. God created this. It's incredible. So maybe, you know, we can think of God as the Father, as the sun itself, and maybe the heat could be the Holy Spirit and the light. Jesus, the light of the world, maybe the light shining represents Jesus. Then maybe that analogy works. It might get us so far. Okay, that might help us. But what about art? I love a bit of art. I didn't do very well in math, but I was quite good at art. So I do like a bit of art. And this is Rublev. This is Rublev, 1410, long time ago. This is called the Icon of the Trinity. He painted this, and I want us just to reflect for a moment on this beautiful painting. So it's very old. Can everybody see that? It's a very old painting. And it represents, the figure on the right represents the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. The figure in the middle is Jesus Christ, and the figure on the left is God the Father. Notice they're all wearing blue. The blue represents divinity. And notice that they're all looking to the figure on the left. They're all looking to God the Father. They're sort of deferring to him, but he's looking back at them, and they're in community. And just notice behind them, there are some images, a bit faint, but we can see behind the Holy Spirit a mountain. You might think, well, why the mountain? Why has the Holy Spirit got the mountain? Well, traditionally, a mountain was a place you went to seek God. And a mountain you'd go to get close to the heavens. So the Holy Spirit's got, Holy Spirit helps us get close to God, to get close to God himself. So hence the mountain. So that's the interpretation of the mountain. Behind Jesus in the middle, by the way, Jesus is wearing a brown gown. Because he came to earth. God came to earth. He made his dwelling amongst us. John 1 verse 14, another life-changing scripture for me. God came, was fully God, but made himself known, made his dwelling amongst us, moved into the community. Really life-changing, John 1 verse 14. So that gown there represents him coming to earth, being and becoming fully human, made himself known to us. And behind him, there's a tree. They're not quite sure about the tree. The interpretation of the tree could represent the cross, but most people think it represents hospitality. Because again, in traditional times, hospitality was a big deal for the early church. Perhaps we've lost that a little bit. The modern church lost that, but in early and medieval church times, church history, very important. Hospitality was very important, and you gather together under the big tree in the village. So the tree represents hospitality. And Jesus, you'll notice, he's pointing to a cup, and a cup of his blood, representing that he died for us on the cross. And then to the left is God the Father. He's holding, it's a bit faint, but he's holding a staff with two hands, representing authority. And behind him you can see a house. And Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. I go there to prepare a place for you. Again, in 2018, that was a life-changing scripture for me as my mother, who knew Jesus, passed away. God reminded me of that verse, and that he, Jesus, had gone to prepare a place for my mother. And one day I'll be there as well. a really important verse. So God the Father has got he's got his house, as it were, behind him. So that's helpful. We can see there also what I love. We can see the humility of the Trinity. Really important for us. I want you to remember humility. And the equality of the Trinity. There's not the Father bigging it up over the rest. There's an equality of the Trinity. So that's helpful. And so let's just unpack. Let's see what the scriptures say about God as a Trinity. Because God as Trinity is a mystery to us. Because we can look at science. We can look at hamburgers. We can look at the sun, we can look at art, but nothing quite gives us an accurate analogy of what the Trinity really is. Because God said, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is way higher than us. I mean, you know, he is God Almighty. His ways are way, way higher than our ways. And really, some of this our heads can't quite get around, because God is a mystery, and the Trinity is a mystery to us. And I want us to remember that and not get too caught up in different analogies. I mean, you know, we can look at different analogies, but it is still a mystery. The Trinity is still a mystery, but very important to us. Very important. And it was very important. And the Trinity does come through the Bible. The Bible is a narrative story. It's not just sort of, as I say, just a theological treatise. It's a story of salvation, a narrative of salvation. And God is represented in the Bible as singular. Very important for the Israelites to think of the God as one. Shema, the Hebrew word for God, as one, Yahweh, Shema, singular. Everybody say Shema. And the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, very important. Paul brings that out. One God, we worship one God, the Father, one Lord, Jesus Christ, one. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6, that oneness comes out. But also, in the Old Testament, God is plural, Elohim. Everybody say Elohim. Yeah, that's plural in Hebrew. And let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. Genesis 1, verse 26. So it's not just a singular thing, it's also mysteriously also plural in the Bible too. And then God says, well, Isaiah brings this out in his book. He was the mega prophet of the Old Testament. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Plural. Us. So he, even before the beginning of time, God has been in fellowship. God has been in fellowship with himself way before the sun was created, way before this earth was created, way before the stars were created, the solar system, the universe. God was in fellowship. He was doing community. He was doing community. Really, really important. God does community. Laura, for me, was... you know, exemplifies how to do community. She challenges me and encourages me to do community. I mean, I'm trying. My neighbors, they live in a big house opposite us, and I've noticed they work very long hours, and they've got this big Mercedes Benz. They come down about 7 o'clock at night. I'm waiting for them. And I'm trying to be a good neighbor. I'm trying to, you know, connect them. Maybe I can get them along to one of the meals that Laura does. So I'm trying to do my thing. I'm, you know, not watching Netflix, which is good. And I'm at the end of my drive, and I see them coming down a bit too fast, actually. They drive a bit too fast down the road. That's okay. We'll let them go. Grace. And so they come down the road, and then they wheel up their driveway, and that, I think, great, that's my opportunity to go. I'm running, hello, my name's Toby, I want to get to know you. And they just drive in, ignore me, blank me, press their electric garage, it shoots up, and they drive in, shoots down, and they're gone. I can't even do community. I'm just in their driveway looking a bit weird, looking very weird actually. But probably through Laura, we have actually got to know our neighbours. They're called Sam and Sam, which is good for me because I'm not very good at remembering names. Husband, wife, Sam and Sam. And we've got to know them. We've got to connect with them. And it's really important, actually. We've perhaps lost the art of having a conversation. Are you good at conversation? I don't think everybody's very good at having conversations. I've had to learn from Laura again on how to have a decent conversation. But it's important to understand people's story, to listen to them, understand them. So where do you live? Well, that's pretty obvious. They live opposite. Maybe not the best question. Yeah, what do you enjoy doing with your time? What do you do with your time? I'm an accountant, so they're both accountants. Where do you do that? In the city. So you're getting to know what are the key milestones in your life? Having our children, that's a key milestone. Moving, they moved from overseas, that was a key milestone for them. So understand people's story. It's a good way of doing community. Having a conversation. Yeah, but really important that you don't just have a conversation and hear the story. If you see them again, remember their story. Just as important as remembering their name, actually. If you remember their story, that it's very affirming. Oh, yeah, you work in the city. You work for that company. You work in the city. How's it going? You're working long hours. How's all that going? You remember their story. And that's a great way to have a conversation and start building community, actually. So can you do that? My challenge is in 2019, just about, having a conversation with a neighbor. Yeah, you don't need to chase them. But have a conversation with them. So let's look at these scriptures. These scriptures really hit me between the eyes. They really impacted me. John 17 verses 20 to 26. I'm not sure we'll get to 26. So this is Jesus speaking. Now, all scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. I do believe that. But when Jesus speaks, we need to take particular note. And this is his last prayer before he goes to the cross, last prayer. And he's been praying, it's a long prayer, John 17. He's been praying for his disciples. Now, who's he praying for now? My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. So who's he praying for?
Us.
Spot on. Top mark, Sammy. Yeah, gold star to Sammy. He's praying for us. He's praying for us. He's not just praying for his disciples. He's praying for those who would believe through those disciples, so through the generations. He's praying for us. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. There's that fellowship thing happening, that community thing. That's actually deeper than community. Just as you are in me and I am in you, they're actually in each other. That's the plural thing of God happening. May they also be in us, plural. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you have given me. The glory, what does glory mean? Glory means presence and character. We've seen in Jesus the presence and character of God. And that's a good thing, isn't it? Amen. Amen to that. That they may be one as we are one. So we are to be one as God is one. Together, one Father, one Son, one Holy Spirit, together, Blessed Trinity, we're to be like this. This is Jesus praying for us, that we be one, church, Crossway, let's be one. Let's grow together. Let's do community together. Let's do this better in 2019. I think we can do better. I have to say, I think we can do better. We're a big church and we can do better at this. We can do better in life groups. We can do better together. We can do better in our community. We can reach our neighbors. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity, that the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So through this, through seeing this work out, through seeing I in them, so Jesus saying I, he is in us, yeah, you're aware of that, he's in us. So if we follow Jesus, this blew me away last year, just remembering this, it blew me away. That God, Jesus, is in me. And he's not just a solo God. He's a community God. He's a Trinity. He's in me. And that in that, if I do that well, I will be loving my brothers and sisters. And I hope I do love my brothers and sisters. I do love you, Crossway. And if we start loving each other better, that will be a good, strong testimony to the community out there. And people will take note and come to Jesus themselves. That's an exciting thing, isn't it? It's an exciting thing. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and see my glory, the glory you have given me because you love me before the creation of the world. There we have it. So let's just look at this relationship between the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It's very important for us, really important for us to understand, yes, God's a bit of a mystery, but let's get our heads around this fellowship thing, this community thing, because it's really, really, really important. And it's, but there's no actual word in English that describes the relationship. we have to look to the Greek, perikerosis. Everybody say perikerosis. Yeah, it's a Greek word. I gave up Greek when I did Latin and Greek until I was 13. As soon as I could, I dropped it because I wasn't very good at it. Much to the dismay of my father. And my father actually got a first at Cambridge University in Greek. And we used to, he was very bright, my dad. I'm not sure what happened. But he was great at Greek. And he loved going to Greece. And we'd go on holidays, family holidays to Greece. It was lovely. And he would try his Greek, his ancient Greek, upon the locals. It's hilarious, actually. They go, oh. And they'd understand him, but it was like speaking Shakespearean sort of English to them. But the word perikeros describes this relationship, and it comes from the word peri, which means around, the Greek word peri, and kurion, which means to make room for. Really important, to make room for. Around. And it means mutual indwelling, mutual interpenetration. It means to connect. Connection, really important. The three gods are connected. They've been connected since the beginning of time. They are connected right now. We're following not just one God, we're following God, three gods in one. And the fellowship is the perfect example of a caring, loving, humble, equal relationship, very important to us as we go into 2019. I think this is the challenge. It's a challenge for me to get out of my line and get out of my office and do community better. Laura, I can see Laura's better at doing perikerosis than me. I'm not sure what I'm doing, but I'm not doing perikerosis alone in my office. We need to do this better, don't we? We need to do this better. Because we need to do it better for ourselves, church. Crossway, we need to, full stop, we need to do it better for church, for us. So that's about life groups, joining a life group, that we need to do it better. But also we need to do it better for society, because society is really struggling. Australia, the UK, the US, Western countries are really struggling with this poverty, a poverty of isolation. That's our poverty in the West. Mother Teresa came to visit Australia in 1970. How long ago? It's 50 years. I'm not very good at maths. 50 years ago. And she came and she said these words. The leprosy of the West is loneliness. Loneliness. And what's happened is just recently, last year, a big study came out, and they found that, looked at a big study, 400,000 participants, they found that if you lead a lonely, socially isolated life, it is the equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes a day. I better be careful. If I just stay in my little office, it's going to be a lonely existence, and it's going to actually affect my health. But Australia, we're struggling. In the West, Burwood, we need people to go out. We need communities. We need to be a loving community. We need to reach out through coach. We need to mentor. We need to do life groups better, because a genuinely Christian reflection on social issues must be rooted in the self-giving love of the Trinity. Self-giving love, another word for perichoresis, another understanding of perichoresis, is self-giving love of divine Trinity as manifested on the cross of Christ. Really important. So in 2019, maybe there's a challenge for you. Maybe you can give up one or two episodes of Netflix. Come on. If I can do it, you can do it. One or two, you know, to be a mentor, it's 1 or 2 hours a week. We can all do that. Maybe it's joining a life group. Pastor Bill's here, he's in the foyer. You know, if you're not part of a life group, I really would encourage you to join a life group. In ancient times, nobody did solo Christianity. We've all got to be part of a life group or a ministry group or Christian fellowship. Really, that's sort of basic 101, following Jesus. Joining fellowship, joining a life group, really, really, really important. Or if you're leading a life group as part of Team Crossway, thank you. You know, thank you for leading a life group. Maybe this is the time to step it up in 2019, to reach out into your community, to gather up some of your neighbors, like Laura does. Maybe, connect with some single parents, isolated people, invite them in. It doesn't have to be complicated. What we do on Friday, every other Friday night, it's not complicated. We just invite people into our home. And it's BYO. We want to create an interdependent community, not just dependent on us. They bring their own food and stuff. And they care for each other. They're starting to care for each other. Really important. It doesn't have to be all dependent on you, but you're there to create community. Because what are you doing when you're creating community? You're following. You are in, as an image of the Trinity, you're following the triune God. Really important. So as the band comes up and starts playing, we've got a lovely song that reflects the Trinity. Let me pray. So how about we stand up to pray? And if God's challenged you about community or anything like this, or maybe you need a mentor as a family's doing it tough, I'll be here. And I'd love to pray with you. There'll be a ministry team here at the front. They would love to pray with you. Crossway, please come and see us. But let me pray. Oh Lord God, you are three in one, and that is a mystery, but we bless you, Father. We bless you, Son. We bless you, Holy Ghost. You are the blessed Trinity, and we worship you. We thank you for not just being a sort of individualistic God, for not giving us an individualistic example, but giving us community, giving us fellowship, Lord Jesus. We thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to be better at community. Help me, Lord, to be better at community. Help me, turn off the internet occasionally and do community better in 2019. And as us church, let's fellowship better in 2019, and let's go out and do community into a broken, fractured society where marriages are broken down, where families are broken down, where there is isolation, not helped by social media and things like that. It's not genuine community. So let's be a loving example, church. Please help us, God, be a loving example into society, into this community today, Lord Jesus. We ask all of this in your good, good name. Amen.